All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. It is December 23rd, Friday. Let's get into it. The omnibus bill has been passed and it's sent to Biden's office. Zelensky went to Congress. I wouldn't really say the word petition, more like demanded that the United States give more money to Ukraine and to also fight a war against Russia for Ukraine. $40 billion more dollars has been committed to Ukraine. We are very quickly reaching the $100 billion mark for support for Ukraine. But yet, have any of you received any money? Do you know how much money $100 billion could do for the American welfare state, for the American people? I'm not saying like that's like the greatest thing to do, but you could easily give our tax dollars back to us, you assholes. But instead, you fund another war where now we have the Soviets versus the Nazis again, and we are choosing the side of the Nazis. How great. We're in it for a big one. Because now Vladimir Putin has said ever since Zelensky went to Congress and he petitioned our support and our money, your money, by the way, that the politicians are more than happy to give away. Well, Vladimir Putin said, you know what? All right, that's it. Negotiations are off the table. There is no negotiations now. Maybe we can extend an olive branch, but I don't think so. I think in the very near future, what's going to come out is Zelensky is going to be asking for American troops. He already said that he didn't need our troops because if we give them the tanks, if we give them the planes, well, they can pilot it. They can drive the tanks. They can pilot the planes, right? Zelensky has lost, according to a representative from NATO, a little over 100,000 people. 100,000 people. That's like three or four towns combined together in my area. And we still might not reach 100,000 people. So I think Zelensky is full of crap. Not that I think. I know he is. That short little bastard is up to no good, guys. He's up to no good. I don't support this war in Ukraine. YouTube, you can go ahead and cancel me. I don't support the war in Ukraine. I don't support our phony president and his support for the war in Ukraine because we are there hiding something. That's what we're doing. There is something in Ukraine that cannot be taken out that we are willing to stage a world war over. I mean, you know, we're buying oil from Russia. We're buying natural gas from Russia through proxies like India. So if Russia takes over and gets all the wealth that's in the soil, all the minerals, natural gas, the infrastructure, you know, I mean, if they get all that, does it really hurt us? No, not really, because we can buy it from them, and Russia would be more than happy to sell it. That's commerce. That's what makes the world go round. Of course, if I was Russia, I wouldn't sell America jack shit at this point. I'm not a Russophile. I'm not a Russophobe. I'm a humanist. I want humans to survive. I don't think we need to go to world war over a couple elitist people and their ideas. Ukraine has been killing their own people since 2014 when Barack Obama sent the CIA and clandestine operators and the CIA and others into Ukraine to stir up strife, to more or less cause a rebellion and a small civil war. And then they install their own puppet government. that they have more than easily been able to discredit at any moment or to push around however they feel like. And now, because of our malfeasance, we get to reap our harvest. Our harvest being, we're going to go to war with Russia probably by the summer. If we are not in a full-on war with Russia by the summer, I'm going to be surprised. I've been saying this for a few months now, but I'm going to be really surprised. The reason why I say that is because our summer is their frozen winter. So, you know, here within the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a tundra in Ukraine and Russia, and they are going to be able to have the traction to support the heavy weight of their tanks to go across the frozen tundras, which are mainly swampy gumbo mud until it's frozen. And they're going to be able to roll right in, their entire mechanized unit. Putin's already said, we haven't really been sending anything out there in this war. And I recognized that a long time ago. Putin is throwing out some old tanks. He's throwing out some old equipment. He's not giving us the best of his best, but we are. We're throwing in everything that's advanced and technological to put in the hands of Ukrainians, and they've bumbled it. And not to say that they bumbled it. Good men and women have died in this fight, fighting for the country. And it's, I quasi support that, but I don't, because Ukrainians have been killing Ukrainians for a while. The Donetsk People's Republic has been under siege from its own government for a while, yet nobody screams about freedom for them. Meanwhile, we'll be buddy-buddies with Ukraine. We'll be buddy-buddies with China, even though China more or less started a war with the world through the last pandemic. And they more or less said they did. And now, you know, we know that they're willing to go to war. They're probably the only country in the world that is beefing up their military to go to war, specifically with the United States. And don't forget, with all this action of war going on in Europe, potential war in the Pacific, the United States military was downgraded to a weakened status. So what a perfect time to have these two major superpowers that are both nuclear superpowers building up an alliance amongst themselves with 20, 30 other small countries in between them. And we're put into a completely weakened status. We've weakened our economy, which is a definite military strength. We've weakened our military. We've weakened our infrastructure. How many of you are freezing right now? You know? How many are struggling to put food on the table every week? Fill up your gas every month to go to work. You can't go on vacations because the dollar isn't worth anything. How many of you getting overtime right now? Hope you can. I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas. The Omnibus Bill. Let's just say a $2 trillion bill has been passed by the U.S. House of Representatives. 4,000 pages are in this bill. They've had to have been writing it for a while. The bill approved a $1.7 trillion spending bill, which will fund the government until next September, and a win for President Biden and the Congressional Democrats. Reading this off of Fox News. The House passed more than the 4,000-page spending bill. Remember when Nancy Pelosi said, if you want to see what's in the Obamacare, you got to pass the bill? And this 4,000-page spending measure, mostly along party lines in a 225 to 201 vote that saw nine Republicans, nine traitors, vote for the bill along with every Democrat except for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Do you know what all we could get done in this country if the Republicans would unitedly stand against the Democrats? But with every bill that ever comes up, the Democrats are completely united to stand against the American people. Your leaders have failed you. The nine GOP votes that supported this bill include Never Trumper Liz Cheney of Wyoming. Good job, Wyoming. And Adam Kinzinger of Illinois. Also voting in favor were retiring representatives John Katko and Chris Jacobs of New York, Rodney Davis of Illinois, Fred Upton of Michigan, and Jamie Harara Butler of Washington. Anybody else notice besides like Liz Cheney that all those are Democratic states? How funny. The Republicans vote like the Democrats. Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania and Stephen Womack of Arkansas, shame on you, Stephen Womack, were the only two lawmakers to vote in favor that were reelected this year. Unreal. Still, most Republicans blasted it as a bloated, expensive bill that will add $31 trillion to the national debt at a time of high inflation, while Democrats defended it as critical to millions of Americans. We have a big bill here because we had big needs for our country, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. House lawmakers rushed the bill out of the door as harsh winter weather threatened to delay their flights back home. After discussing the rule that set the terms of debate on the bill for an hour, House members gave just a cursory, shortened debate on the bill itself before voting began. The bill provides $858 billion for defense. $858 billion for our military. And they still wear the cheapest, some of the cheapest gear that you can find. $787 billion for non-defense domestic programs. Yeah, like your internal spying from Twitter, from the Department of Justice and the FBI. And nearly $45 billion for military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. Let's talk about that. $45 billion is not going to beef up the Ukrainian military. We won't give them this money for months. This will take months in order to be enacted. So literally by the time this money is approved and gets to Ukraine, which I'm sure will be more of our, you know, stockpiles of ammunition and tanks and tank buster missiles and all that other stuff, by the time it gets there, Putin probably will have half of Ukraine in his jurisdiction. I think in a lot of ways, what you're seeing right now, especially with Zelensky being calm, wearing his, and everybody has hated for the fact that Zelensky wore green. That's like their colors. The man's worn this color ever since this entire fiasco in Ukraine has started. It's not a disrespect towards the House of Representatives and towards Congress, because I disrespect those people way more than Zelensky's wardrobe does. What this was theater. He came wearing a form of a military garb that shows that he's in the fight. All right, even though we know that that short little bastard isn't in any fights, and he 3D prints himself everywhere with phone apps. Most of his on the battlefield chats and talks are done behind a green screen. I know plenty of y'all have seen that. A green screen. Never in my life have I ever seen such fabrication. But that's what we deal with now. And you paid for that, by the way. You should be patting yourself on the back. You paid for this little dictator. Which is what he's become. He's become a little dictator. He has taken down one of the biggest churches in Ukraine because they didn't worship in an approved manner. This man is tyrannical. He's tyrannical. But no one should be surprised because we put the little tyrant into power. Something that America is very good at. We put tyrants into power all the time. Just like how we put Biden into power. He's a damn tyrant. Everybody said that Donald Trump was a tyrant. Well, we put him in power. We're very good at this. We're not very good at trying to sort out the mess in between. You know, where the bombs actually fall and the people actually die at. But these people from your Congress approved all of this. And the humanitarian aid? What humanitarian aid? Will they send the humanitarian aid to the Donetsk people? Will they send the humanitarian aid to the Orthodox Church of Ukraine? Who cares that they worship in a similar manner as the Christians over in Russia do? Who cares? But a dictator cares, because some of the roots of protests and rebellion can come from your religious leaders, can most often do. So he's trying to gain control of that. I understand. I understand why, but I don't understand as a free America, as we always claim to be free and for freedom, standing for liberty and justice. I don't understand why we're standing for this war right now. This bill also includes more than 7,200 earmarks, totaling more than $15 billion, and assures the government will be funded until September 2023. Maybe if the government learned to balance a budget, we wouldn't have to be doing this. The bill drew vocal attacks from Republicans like Chip Roy of Texas, and I watched his little five-minute speech. I completely agree with Chip Roy. This is atrocious. This is atrocious. This is a threat to the liberty of America. What liberty we have left, anyways. We had 18 Republicans who joined the Democrats in the Senate. And they got on their fancy planes and they went home. And we're sitting here trying to do the work of the people, not spend money we don't have, not drive up more inflation, not have 7,500 earmarks for $16 billion for pet leftist projects across the country. I wish we had more Chip Roys in Congress. Even House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, a Democrat from Maryland, admitted that the process was unacceptable and blamed Senate Democrats for failing to do their work on time this year. In reality, this bill should have been passed back in September, says Hoyer. Why? Because the fiscal year ends on September 30th, and the fiscal year 23 begins on October 1st of this year. I admit that. This is all being done wrong. I, someone who worked for the government quite a long time, I understand the fiscal year closing by September 30th. We have to have all of our reports in for everything. Everything has to be in by September 30th. But what you see now, the enormous paragon of this entire event, is that this was held over till this time for a purpose, to spend this bill, to have Zelensky come here. All this is being done for a purpose, and it's a buildup for a war in Russia. And what did little Lindsey Graham say yesterday? He said he agrees with war against Russia and that we should be doing a regime change. And this guy said again, somebody in Russia needs to take out Vladimir Putin. Bold words for a short little fat guy 3,000 miles away from his enemy. Bold words. I will gladly give you the training, arm you myself, and pay for your one-way ticket to Moscow, Lindsey Graham, if that's really what you want to do. You know what? I'm not going to arm you, but I will train you, but you'll have to pay for it. These guys, they try to sound so tough. They try to sound so brash. Look at me in my pretty suit. You know, this is how do these people get reelected? I don't get it. All of you out there right now, you should be so much more aware of your surroundings and of your leadership that when the time comes for these people to be reelected, you boot them out of office faster than they've ever seen. That's what should be happening. The only problem is I don't know who the hell we're going to replace them with. Because I don't know who wants to do the job. I'm sure there's probably 20, 30 million people in America that are more than willing to do this job. However, how many people don't want to be a part of this system anymore? How many people don't want to deal with this anymore? How many people don't want to be raided by the FBI because they believe something differently than you? You know, how many people at this point in time don't trust the government for anything? You beefed up our taxes and then you wouldn't hire more tax collectors. Why should I trust you? You call half of America traitors and then you send our money to go and fund a war that we don't want in a country that we overall don't support, but you have all the media, you have all the big techs, and you have all the idiots that are on whatever social media go out and say, we support this, we support this. In the NFL, we support the fight in Ukraine. Do you support the rape, the robbery, the child sex trafficking? You support Hunter Biden's laptop? You support over 40 U.S. biolabs that are out there making who knows what? Do you support the attack upon the Donetsk People's Republic? Do you support the complete destruction of that country? Because that's what happened. Brought to you by America. But most people don't understand what they're saying. They just see, support this, we'll pay you a little bit extra money to say it on TV. And then these guys go out and say it. And then a lot of you go, you know what? If Ronald McDonald over here and Shaquille O'Neal agree, then I guess it's got to be good because those are two good guys, right? No. Think for yourself. Do your own research. We're being played, America, and you're playing right along into it. And if you didn't know this, now the FBI is actually admitting. They're actually admitting what they did on Twitter. The FBI is finally coming to terms with their own corruption. FBI says that Twitter infiltration is business as usual and slams conspiracy theorists. It says business as usual. So let's look up an operation real quick. Operation COINTELPRO. Okay. All right, boys and girls. I want you to go into Google or Safari or whatever it is that you have for your internet browser and type in COIN, C-O-I-N, TELPRO. It's a counterintelligence operation. I'm going to read this to you real quick, okay? So COINTELPRO was a series of covert and illegal projects actively conducted by the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation, aiming at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic American political organizations. Aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic American political organizations from 1956 to 1971. Do you think they actually stopped in 1971? Now, the FBI records show that COINTELPRO resources targeted groups and individuals that the FBI deemed subversive, including feminist organizations, the Communist Party USA, anti-Vietnam organizers, activists of civil rights movements, and black power movements like Martin Luther King and the Nation of Islam and the Black Panther Party, and environmentalists and animal rights organizations and the American Indian Movement, and Chicano and Mexican-American groups like the Brown Berets and the United Farm Workers, independent movements including Puerto Rican independent groups such as the Young Lords and the Puerto Rican Socialist Party, a variety of organizations that were part of the broader New Left, and white supremacist groups such as the Ku Klux Klan and the far-right group the National States Rights Party. So, you would think, targeting these subversive groups that are on either spectrum, left and right, extremely radical, extremist, dangerous, many of them have killed plenty of people on either side, right? Harassed people, interfered with daily operations of the federal government. You would think, if we were a whole and just society, okay, I can see why we needed to surveil, infiltrate, discredit, and disrupt these domestic American political organizations. Because what they'll say was that these organizations were extreme right-wing group, armed and financed, and that they're members of a Minutemen anti communist paramilitary organization, and that's actually true. However, in 1971 in San Diego, the FBI financed and armed and controlled an extreme right-wing group of former members of the Minutemen anti-communist paramilitary organization that was transforming into a group called the Secret Army Organization that targeted groups, activists, and leaders involved in the anti-war movement, using both intimidation and violent acts. So it always makes me wonder, FBI, when are you going to come out and say that you were involved in Antifa? When are you going to come out and say that you were involved in Black Lives Matter? When are you going to come out and say that you were directly involved with January 6th in setting up a sitting president at that point in time who was, you know, now been replaced by a buffoon? But they won't tell you because they say that you don't have the need to know, you don't have the security clearance, and I don't have to tell you, and Congress cannot put me in check and make me. What are we supposed to do about the FBI? Why do you think they don't want Donald Trump to run for president? Donald Trump said that the FBI needs to be smashed into a million pieces. At this point in time, I agree. Our government's failed us. We have a standing army now instead of law enforcement. And as someone who disagrees with most people's statements about law enforcement, but that's naively because I see the good in law enforcement, I think we are too big for our britches. I think we have had the wrong people in charge for decades, and they just keep electing their cronies. They keep electing their apprentices. COINTELPRO. Many of the tactics that are used in COINTELPRO are alleged to have seen Continued use, including discrediting targets through psychological warfare. Twitter was recently described as psychological warfare upon the American people. Do I need to pull up Operation Mockingbird? Well, just for those of you who don't know, let's go down the operational blacklist. Operation Mockingbird was a alleged large-scale program of the United States Central Intelligence Agency that began in the early years of the Cold War and attempted to manipulate domestic Americans and their news media organizations for propaganda purposes. According to the author Deborah Davis, Operation Mockingbird recruited leading American journalists into a propaganda network and influenced the operations of front groups. The CIA's support of front groups was exposed when an April 1967 Ramparts article reported that the National Student Association received funding from the CIA. In the 1975 Church Committee, you need to go and research the Church Committee, ladies and gentlemen. The Church Committee, their congressional investigations revealed that the agency's connections with journalists and civics groups were factual. In 1973, a document referred to as the Family Jewels was published by the CIA containing a reference to Project Mockingbird, which was the name of an operation from 1963 to 1975. 1960s to 1970s for the CIA's Operation Mockingbird. COINTELPRO. Late 1950s to the 1970s for the FBI. Does anybody else notice that in the same amount within about, 15 to 20 years, the same operations were occurring? One was the domestic spy organization, and one was the international spy organization that both deployed assassins, subversives, caused rebellions, terrorism, sowed strife. How interesting. Two wings of the same bird. By the beginning of 1969, leaders of the Black Panther Party were targeted by the COINTELPRO and neutralized by being assassinated, imprisoned, publicly humiliated, or falsely charged with crimes. Sound familiar, January 6? Some of the Black Panthers that were targeted included Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Zaid Shakur, Geronimo Pratt, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and Marshall Conway. Common tactics used by COINTELPRO were perjury, witness harassment, witness intimidation, and withholding of exculpatory evidence. The director for the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, issued directives governing COINTELPRO, ordering the FBI agents to expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, or otherwise neutralize the activities of these movements, and especially their leaders. Anybody else noticed how it was MAGA leadership that were harassed by the federal government, and that it was the representatives who ran for Congress for the MAGA Republicans who had all their elections interfered with? These are not coincidences. This is war. This is a war. This is your domestic war. This is the beginnings of the next kinetic civil war. And they've been doing this for a while. Consider all that I've just talked about. And let's pull up the latest Department of Homeland Security National Terrorism Advisory System. NTAS is what we always called it. So the National Terrorism Advisory System is designed to communicate information about terrorist threats by providing timely, detailed information to the American public. All Americans share a responsibility for the nation's security and should always be aware of the heightened risk of terrorist attacks in the United States and what they should do. This page at DHS.gov contains current National Terrorism Advisory System advisories, both alerts and bulletins, archived copies of expired advisories, and additional information on the NTAS system. DHS replaced the color-coded alerts of the Homeland Security System with the National Terrorism Advisory System in 2011. I remember when they did that, actually. All right, so here we go. You tell me if any of this is terrorism, all right? This is terrorism. National Terrorism Advisory System from the Department of Homeland Security. Let's see what is considered terrorism today. From November 30th, 2022, the United States remains in a heightened threat environment. Lone offenders and small groups motivated by a range of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. We might as well just like start saying fatherland instead of homeland at this point, or motherland. Domestic actors and foreign terrorist organizations continue to maintain a visible presence online in attempts to motivate supporters to conduct attacks in the homeland. I sure hope you're talking about the left and Antifa and the radical Islamic terrorists that are still out there that we don't talk about anymore because I guess they just went away, right? Now they got Afghanistan back. Oh, my Lord. Threat actors have recently mobilized to violence, citing factors such as reactions to current events and adherence to violent extremist ideologies. In the coming months, threat actors could exploit several upcoming events to justify or commit acts of violence, including certifications related to the midterm elections, the holiday season, and associated large gatherings. The marking of 2 years since the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and potential socio-political developments connected to ideological beliefs or personal hostility. Could you give me a less opinionated statement and more facts, please? Because literally, you're pointing at clouds saying, can you see the right angle in the cloud up there? And I'm looking like it's a cloud. There's no right angles. What are you, high? Well, DH terrorism advisory system. Where is the terrorism at? How about last year we had a crazy guy, a leftist, drive his car and hit like 60 kids in a parade. Was that in Michigan, I think? Forgive me if I don't recall the state. And then we parade this son of a bitch on TV for like 8 weeks while he made a mockery of our court, a mockery of our law, which is a mockery of itself now. And now he's what, doing life? Great. Three hots and a cot for life. And guess what, guys and gals? If he gets cancer, you're paying for the cancer treatment. And he gets it all. He gets it all. If he has to have a heart transplant, he'll get a heart transplant. He will get more medical attention for free than most of you. Which is one of the reasons why a person who is on death row can literally out-survive members of families that they've slain. Because they're taken care of. Three hots and a cot, baby. This is just sickening to me. These people are so worried about the U.S. Capitol from January 6th. Thinking, oh, they may have a resurgence. They may come back. Potential socio-political developments connected to ideological beliefs or personality, personal hostility. Could you be more vague?
Well, there may be some people who don't like some things who think about stuff. We should consider that a terrorism activity.
Let's talk about targets of political violence, including public gatherings and faith-based institutions. Antifa? How about that one? How about the Black Lives Matter riots and protests? Is there ever going to be any restitution for all of those people that were affected? All those businesses that were lost? The shutting down of almost entire cities? The burning down of some of them? No. The LGBTQI plus community. I'm sorry, but who cares? Who cares? Nobody is targeting you. You have the highest within your community. You have the highest suicide, the highest rape, the highest drug use, the highest mental instability. Maybe because you're all mentally unstable. I'm probably going to get shut down for saying that, but that's my personal belief. I mean, you know, everything now is about trans. Everything is about trans now. Who cares? If a dude wants to dress up as a lady, well, like Aerosmith said, dude looks like a lady. I don't care. But when you sexualize everything and then you tell children to sexualize themselves, now we got problems. Now we got problems. And those problems are all throughout the halls of Congress now. Those problems are strolling down the hallway of your White House, polluting what is left of our American culture. And then all I can think of is somewhere across the pond, you're going to have Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin probably drinking a really, really expensive scotch and smoking cigars, watching videos of Americans losing their minds and going, you know what? Honestly, at this point, they deserve what we do to them. Or maybe Vladimir just says, you know what? Maybe we should just let them continue to do this. They'll destroy themselves shortly. Either way, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. We've decided what we'll fight for and what we won't fight for. Do not expect anybody to come to our rescue. Do not expect anybody. Once we get into a war with Russia and China, to send us billions upon billions of their money to help us. Don't expect it. It's not happening. So let's continue on this. I'm going down a dark path in my mind, as I'm so disgusted by these people. Secretary of Homeland Security, Commissar Alejandro Mayorkas, issued a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin regarding the continued heightened threat environment across the United States. And this is the seventh NTAS bulletin issued by the Department of Homeland Security since January 2021. And it replaces the current bulletin that was set to expire on November 30th. Our homeland continues to face a heightened threat environment, as we have seen, tragically, in recent acts of targeted violence, and is driven by violent extremists seeking to further a political or social goal or act on grievance. To keep Americans safe, DHS is committed to working with partners across every level of government, in the private sector, and in local communities by sharing information, equipping communities with training and resources, and providing millions of dollars in grant funding for security enhancement and prevention. That's a joke, providing millions of dollars of funding. Yeah. Where are you funding? I want to get back to this comment right here with the LGBTQ plus community. The greater majority of people that we arrested and literally fought against in Antifa, and I'm going to say Portland again. God, I know you guys are so tired of me saying that. I apologize. Were of that community. The average was of that community. And the average was under the age of 29. Above the age of 16, under the age of 29. That's their voters, okay? That's this radical extremist group. Now, I'm not going to say that every person who is of the LGBTQ plus community is a radical extremist. However, with what we dealt with, the majority was of that community. They were radical extremists, are still radical extremists, which this government completely supports this radical extremism. They recently had a man who dresses up as like a preteen girl with a 5 o'clock shadow. Been watching Mark Dice. He talks about this all the time. Good job, Mark Dice, by the way. And he comes to the White House parading his pigtails in his preteen outfit. I'm confused, guys. I'm confused. What in the hell are we doing? What is this freak walking up and down the halls of our very precious White House? And I know there's a lot of people who are going to say it's not precious. It's just a White House of horrors and it's all this other stuff. Man, that's the people's house. That's our house. We literally fight wars to keep that house open. If it doesn't matter, then what are we doing? If the Constitution doesn't matter, then what are we doing? Should we just be lorded over? Should we just divide ourselves up into kingdoms? Let's have our merry band of internal strife. We can have one gigantic civil war that will be combined with 1,000 smaller civil wars. And then we'll just be at eternal war. And then we'll never matter anything on the world stage. Maybe that's the secret to what's coming. So Mayorkas says, to keep Americans safe, DHS is committed to working with partners across every level of government and the private sector and in local communities. Yeah, that included Twitter. And what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about the propaganda nation that we live in now? He goes on to say that lone offenders and small groups motivated by a range of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. Crime poses a grievous threat to the homeland. What have you done about crime? You want to target guns? I think it's, was it beginning of January? The pistol brace bill is going to come out. I guess it's going to outlaw all pistol braces. I kiss my ass on that one. I'm keeping mine. That damn thing cost me $270. I'm not getting rid of that. And I strongly implore all of you to say, kiss my ass, federal government. I'm not giving you my stuff. You know, it reminds me of whenever the English, they banned all the weapons from the Irish and the Scottish. More especially the Scottish. And even though the Scots and Irish, a little bit different people, but pretty much the same, Celtic. They ended up turning the Irish against the Scottish, but eventually both groups fought against the English. That's turning ourselves against ourselves. That's what they've been doing. But they outlawed all weapons, and then they outlawed all martial practice. So the practice of war, training. And then they outlawed music. And then they had Prima Nocturna. Anybody remember what that is? Anybody watch Braveheart? Anybody else here? See where I'm going with this? Braveheart fan? It was their official duty, their royal right to bed a woman who was just married before the husband. That was to breed out the people. That was the goal, was to breed out the people. Several recent attacks, plots, and threats of violence now demonstrate the continued dynamic and complex nature of the threat environment in the United States. Domestic actors and foreign terrorist organizations who remain intent on attacking America continue to maintain a visible presence online and attempts to motivate supporters to conduct attacks in the homeland. Our congressman supported attacks in the homeland. Vice President Cameltoe Harris funded it, bailed some of them out. Threat actors have recently mobilized to violence. Really? Where? Point them out. Who has recently been mobilized to violence? If you're talking about the Colorado Springs nightclub from the community, that was from their own community. So let's go ahead and throw the baby out with the bathwater on that one, huh? Then they say, citing factors such as reactions to current events and adherence to violent extremist ideologies. And they base a lot of this off of the recent midterm elections. So you're going to tell me I can't be outraged that the midterm elections were stolen? I mean, I know Carrie Lake is in her lawsuit right now. There's no way that she can win. I support her 100%. But the system is so rigged against us. How can we, at this point in time, demonstrate our republic to the world? We're a republic. Quit saying we're democratic. Demokratia, the rule by the people, rule by the mob. It doesn't work. We are a republic for a reason. We fought for it for a reason. And it's dying for a very damn good reason, because the Democrats took over. Democracy is beating back our republic. Listen to this. DHS works with partners across every level of government, in the private sector and in local communities, to keep Americans safe, providing resources and support, including the following. And I want to say this before I go any further. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, does work with partners across every level of government because I did it. We did work with people in the private sector because I did it. We did work with local communities to keep Americans safe because I did it, was there, done it. Why aren't we doing it now? What changed? Why is the border a free-for-all? You say that we're there to help, we're there to support Americans and small businesses. We're there to keep Americans safe. Well, where are you? Recently, the Connex boxes in Arizona had to be taken down. They were being used as an ad hoc fence. What happened to that? Tyranny happened to that. That's what happened. Tyranny happened. All right. So this includes the following. DHS and the Federal Bureau of Investigation continue to share timely and actionable information and intelligence with the broadest audience possible. What is that on Twitter? This includes sharing information and intelligence with partners across every level of government and in the private sector. DHS conducts recurring threat briefings with private sector and state, local, tribal, territorial, and campus partners, including to inform security planning efforts. DHS remains committed to working with partners to identify and prevent all forms of terrorism and targeted violence to support law enforcement efforts to keep communities safe. We literally had an insurrection for an entire year by the leftists, and I have not yet seen one DHS official, except for former acting director of DHS, Chris Wolf, talk about it. Nobody talks about what happened in 2020. And because of that, it will happen again in 2024. Probably 2023 as well. And it will be worse this time. Because they were, those people, those actual domestic terrorists, were allowed to get away with what they could get away with. Trump sent our agency and our group of guys down to Portland to kick their ass for as much as we could, for as long as we could, until eventually the federal, the federal courthouse that we were there, I can't remember the name of the place. It had, like, I think the first couple months, $300,000 worth of damage, and the big sliding glass doors that were consistently broke like every other month. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars for the court to replace all that glass. We were there to protect that courthouse. And you know what happened? The same judge whom we were there to protect put out a temporary restraining order against us, a temporary injunction against us, saying that within like 4 to 5 blocks of the courthouse, we could no longer use half the munitions that we had. How do you want us to deal with thousands of people attacking with melee weapons and fire? These people say that they're out there for justice. They say that they're there to protect. They're not. The fruit of these trees should be showing you all that they're rotten. And no matter how many good men and women wearing the badge go out there and do the job, eventually that fruit will rotten as well, because it hangs upon a rotten tree. That's why I stress for so many, get out. It's not worth it anymore. Get out, take care of your families, become a member of your community. I'd love to be, you know, a working member of my community, helping to keep it strong. But at this point in time, you know, I'm doing what God tells me to do. But you have plenty of people like me who are willing to literally sit down with the city council for free and say, let's look at where you're weak and let's try and make it strong. But it's literally not getting done. It's not getting done. And I can tell you why it's not getting done. Go for a drive from one end of your county to the other and go and see how many different electrical substations are completely exposed to vandalism. Nothing's getting done. Our leaders are complacent. The terrorists are not. They're just biding their time. In July 2022, DHS reconstituted the Faith-Based Security Advisory Council. The FBSAC, the FBSAC, serves as a advisory body with the purpose of providing guidance and recommendations to the secretary on the development of implementations of strategies, policies, programs, and information sharing practices that will further the department's ability to prevent, protect against, respond to, and recover from acts of targeted violence or terrorism, major disasters, cyber attacks, or other threats or emergencies against places of worship, faith communities, and faith-based organizations. Is that like the clergy response team? Crickets? Talking to you, FEMA. DHS's Office of Intelligence and Analysis and the National Counterterrorism Center released updated behavioral indicators of U.S. extremist mobilization to violence. You have to ask yourself, behavioral indicators of U.S. extremist mobilization to violence. How many people giving you these analyses are leftists and politically biased? You'll never know. I don't trust anything these people say anymore. And I worked for them for 10 years. Sorry, I always sound like Debbie Downer on here. I know some of you that email me have a good laugh with that. I am Debbie Downer. This is just bullshit that we're dealing with now in this country. It is absolutely horrible. I don't know. I feel like I exile my own country at this point. Our faith leaders have no more courage to come out and stand up against a corrupt government. Our government is so big and bought off by the private sector that we are literally ruled by the private entities at this point in time. And don't forget the Trilateral Commission and all that other stuff. The end goal, 2030, is still coming. It's only, 2023 is fixing to come. We're 7 years away from 2030 and from what those agendas are going to be. Everything's springboarding to that time. So let's talk about this real quick. God and government. From beginning to end, the Bible continually shows that there is a conflict between the governments of this world and the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world were established as a result of the fall of man, and God's kingdom was established for the purpose of confronting and ultimately destroying all of these kingdoms. Christ came to rescue his world, his world, and to destroy the power of the evil one. To ignore this theme is to overlook the full significance of the cross and causes us to misunderstand the mission of God's kingdom to confront the governmental powers of the world. For some reason, this theme is often overlooked, but it shouldn't catch us all off guard. Throughout the Old Testament, God continually shows himself as superior to pagan rulers and authorities. Like who? Well, like the Egyptians, the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians. A major theme of the prophets is how God is more powerful than these political powers and will ultimately deliver his people from Babylon. If Jesus is to be understood as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, we should read the New Testament with the expectation that this conflict between Israel and these pagan nations would somehow, in some way, be resolved. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he came in to announce a kingdom to the world where Caesar thought of himself as the only Lord and Savior. Rome said they had conquered the world at the time that Jesus was walking in Jerusalem. And we can be sure that the early disciples gave very serious consideration to the question of how our citizenship in the kingdom of God should impact our relationship to the governments on which we now live. The entire Old Testament, on one level at least, is a story of how God continually delivered his people from the political oppression of pagan nations and their rulers. Who right now is not willing to raise their hand in church and say, "We are ruled by pagan rulers"? See if your pastor agrees with you. Think back to the most significant stories of the Old Testament. After Cain killed Abel, he responded by building a city in the east, the part of the world that would eventually become the nation of Babylon. The continual rebellion of Genesis 1 to 11 culminates in the construction of the Tower of Babel, the same word which is later translated as Babylon, as the people organized to make a name for themselves in rebellion to the authority of God. So the scattering of these nations from Babel becomes the backdrop of the story of Abraham, as God calls Abram to leave his home in the east and to trust him to make his name great and bless all the nations of the earth through him. This promise to Father Abraham is thus given to the answer to the problem of human arrogance and nation building. At this point, we are only a few chapters into the Bible now, but we should already be noticing that there is going to be some sort of a conflict between God's people and Babylon, which is the point I'm trying to make to you now. God's people, we are going to have continual conflict with our governments because our governments have gone away from God from the beginning and they've turned to Babylon. All nations around the world right now reflect Babylon. There is not a nation on earth that does not reflect Babylon. We soon find Abraham's family in Egypt, oppressed by an evil ruler, Pharaoh. In one of the most important stories of the whole Old Testament, God demonstrates his superiority over the Egyptian rulers and delivers his people through the blood of a lamb. The conflict between God and the pagan rulers continues in the Promised Land as God gives Israel victories over the Amalekites, the Moabites, and the Canaanites. The book of Judges can be read as a series of many Exodus stories as God continually delivers his people from pagan authorities. And what I'm here to tell you is that the only thing that's going to deliver us from our pagan authority is God. So sit back, endure, continue to train, to prep, to pray, to read your Bibles, stay frosty, and stay warm. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.